Welcome to the Watermark OC Church Sunday Morning Message Podcast. At Watermark, we believe that teaching and preaching is not just about information transfer, it's actually about life transformation. So we continue this tradition that has been handed down to the very first believers over 2,000 years ago. Teaching and preaching matters for the formation of your mind, for your soul, for your body. And we hope that today your ideas are challenged and that your imagination is reignited with the truth of Scripture. Thank you so much for listening. And if you want to connect with us, just go to watermarkoc.com/contact.
Happy New Year, everybody. Thanks for coming. Glad to see you in church. Hey, just take a second and watch this.
Welcome to the playoffs. How does that sound to you?
Man, it's a blessing. I can't do nothing but just thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, man. I'm sorry. I put a lot of work in. My team has everybody counting us out from the start. So, man, it's just special to see the city of Houston just on the come up again. And I'm just blessed enough to be the vessel that Christ picked to lead this great franchise. So I can do nothing but just thank the Lord.
I'm just curious.
Amen. Can I get a witness? C.J. Stroud, yesterday led the Texans to victory. That was him giving a witness, a testimony to the power of the Holy Spirit, thanking God that God had chosen him to be a vessel of leadership, praise. His performance is about praising God and serving God, not about himself. He's reflecting Christ's image. It's like we read Acts 1:8, so long ago, Jesus with his disciples, before he ascended to the Father, the risen Christ, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will give a witness, right? You will be a witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, even Houston, Texas. God bless Texas. CJ's there to share the love of Jesus Christ with the people on his team and the people in that city. Can they get a witness, right? That's what the book of Acts is about. That's what we're studying, Acts chapter 1. It's about the witness of the forgiveness community. And there is no greater witness than the power of forgiveness in our lives. There's no greater witness than the power of forgiveness. Forgiveness can change a life and give us a powerful witness, not only to our friends, our family, our coworkers, and our world. And that doesn't happen without the risen Christ. That doesn't happen without the resurrection. That doesn't happen without Jesus, the person of forgiveness, becoming alive and real in our lives. As the book of Acts opens, Luke, the author, can I get a Luke?
Luke.
All right, Luke, the author, he's special. Why is he special in the New Testament? Because he's a Jedi? No. He's special in the New Testament. He's the only Gentile author that we know of the New Testament. Do you know that? All else are written by Jewish followers of Jesus. This is a Gentile follower. He's a Greek. He's a beloved physician. He's a traveling companion of the Apostle Paul. He knows great Greek. He's an intellect. And he writes a two-part series, Luke Acts, about Jesus. And here he is at the beginning of Acts. In my former book, the book of Luke, named after me. He wasn't named Luke at that time. In my former book, Theophilus. What does Theophilus mean? Lover of God. Luke is writing to lovers of God. Maybe that's a friend. Maybe that's somebody in his circle, some Greek young man that's asking for wisdom, and he's writing to this man. Maybe it's a pseudonym. Maybe it is somebody that's actually a patron that's funded this book for him. But he's writing to this Theophilus to tell them all about the things of God through Jesus Christ. I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering on the cross, his resurrection, he presented himself to them alive and gave many convincing proofs. The Gospels give us 7 post-resurrection appearances between the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus Christ. He showed them convincing proofs. He ate with them. He talked with them. He showed them that he was alive. He opened the scriptures to them and taught them that the Old Testament all pointed to him. He fulfilled the scriptures through his death and resurrection. The proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over 40 days and spoke to them about his favorite subject, the kingdom of God, which was right there, right here, through Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. It is open, it is available to all. And its entrance is forgiveness. N.T. Wright says, the church is the place where forgiveness is on the door. Forgiveness, the forgiveness community comes through the person of forgiveness who taught forgiveness, lived forgiveness, and showed forgiveness to everyone he met. He is the author of forgiveness in the Western world. The person of Jesus, the author of the world's understanding of forgiveness, is the person of Jesus. This is a historian, Anna Arendt. Not writing from a Christian perspective, but saying Jesus, amongst all the philosophers of the ancient world and teachers, affected the Western world of forgiveness like no other. Socrates, Plato, Homer, whatever you want to call it, Roman, Cicero, Seneca, nobody affected the world with forgiveness like the person of Jesus Christ. He is the author of forgiveness. And what we know in the Western culture today of forgiveness comes from him. What a difference he has made in our lives. And in the Gospel of Luke, what Jesus was saying to his disciples as he taught them, as he modeled forgiveness, as he loved them, Jesus was saying, I want to show you that the deepest need in your nature, in your soul, what you were created for, is to know me. The chief end of man is to know God and to glorify him. To have a relationship with God. You're all created for an eternal way of life, and that only comes from the gift of God, Jesus Christ. You have a God-shaped hole in your heart to be filled by the love and grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. Jesus was saying, I want to say that your nature is for me. Only I can bestow perfect love as God. Only I can give you a new identity as the risen Christ. Only I can give you endless comfort, hope, and glory through my peace and forgiveness and love. And the doorway to all these blessings is forgiveness. The doorway is forgiveness. He is the person of forgiveness, and that's what drove him to the place of forgiveness, the cross. The cross is not an accident. The cross is not the wrong way on the road to God's kingdom. The cross is the way to God's kingdom. Jesus said, that's where I went to give you forgiveness. This is what the Apostle Paul, right? Preached the gospel to all the first century world. He said to the Ephesian church in the book of Ephesians, in him, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Redemption is the purchase price to free a debt. Redemption is what was paid to free a slave who had maybe been sold into bondage to sin or actually could not pay their debt and was taken into slavery. Redemption is the purchase price to free a slave. All of us are slaves to sin and death because of our own decisions, because of our selfish, self-centered way of life. We have inherited the wages of sin is death. We're separated from God. We're enslaved to selfishness, pride, and sin. But Jesus came to redeem us, to free us. He paid the price. On the cross, he put his body and blood to pay the price that we deserved so that we might have the forgiveness that we could not earn. He substituted himself for us to make atonement, to be the redemption price by his blood so that we might have forgiveness and all the riches of God's grace. Freedom, grace, mercy, goodness, righteousness, all the gifts poured in through the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, a costly grace. Not a cheap grace, not an easy grace. The cross tells us it was a costly grace. That God, who sat at the right hand of God, Jesus, with all the blessings of heaven, emptied himself, right? He gave up the free right and use of his attributes, and he took on a body, and he walked in our place. And when John the Baptist, he said, behold the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sins of the world. All the sacrificial system pointed to the day when God would put his son. Because the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sin. It's a temporary covering so that he would permanently, once and for all, it is finished, take away our sins. It's a costly grace. It cost him the body and blood of his own son. And so that is the weight of God's love for us. And the weight of our brokenness because of sin, it is the costly grace, the place of forgiveness. But the resurrection happened 3 days later, and it proved that the cross work, the sacrifice had been given, the debt had been paid, justice had been done, the wrath of God had been poured out, reconciliation had happened because of the body and blood in Jesus. The resurrection proved that at work. And so the book of Acts is there because of forgiveness, because of the resurrection, and it is the continued works of Jesus. Luke is about the works of Jesus. When he lived as a ministering rabbi, well, he taught, and then he gave his life, and then he rose from the dead. But the work continues. Acts is about the continued works of Jesus. How do they happen? He's not here. He's in heaven. They happen through you. They happen through me. They happen through his disciples, those that have trusted him to follow him. The continued works of Jesus through the Holy Spirit. It's a spirit-driven work, not a man-centered work, right? Through his disciples. Those that trust and follow him. This is the book of Acts. This is the history of the forgiveness community, written to encourage us, written to teach us and empower us to be that community today. And so, what does that look like? It looks like the power of God's forgiveness through the person of forgiveness in your life, in your heart today, in your relationships, in your community, in your workplace, on your campus. It looks like forgiveness. It looks like a witness of forgiveness in and through your heart to the people in your lives today. The power of forgiveness given by the person of forgiveness, Jesus, in those 40 days, on one occasion, he gathered, he'd huddled with the disciples, and this is what he's saying while he's eating with them. The risen Christ, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. Read the Upper Room Discourse of the Gospel of John. Jesus talks about the Comforter. Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit, that he's leaving to send another one just like him. Just like him, right? My Father promised this, which you have heard me speak about. For John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus Christ, the last prophet of the Old Testament, baptized. His baptism was a baptism of repentance. Wake up, turn around. Something's coming. The kingdom of God is now here. The king is coming. I'm proclaiming to you this good news. I'm pointing to Jesus. His baptism pointed to Jesus. And Jesus didn't just come to dip you in the water. He came to immerse you in the Holy Spirit. Immerse you in the very life of God so that God's presence, God's very essence would dwell within you permanently forever. What an amazing thing. Some of you maybe want to be baptized next week. Baptism is this beautiful picture of our faith. We trust in the death and resurrection for Jesus for ourselves. And we stand before the believing community and we say, I believe, I trust in Jesus for the death for my sins and the resurrection for my eternal life. And we immerse ourselves as a picture of our faith. And a testimony, a witness, a powerful witness to the community. We invite you to come if you've never been baptizing. It's a powerful moment, a powerful witness. But Jesus brought us the Spirit. It's just a picture of what God does when we accept Jesus Christ. Because now what Jesus is saying, do not leave Jerusalem, because in a moment, the new place, in a couple of days, the new place of forgiveness is going to be in your heart. The new place of forgiveness. It's going to be in your heart. These men are Jews. These men grew up with a tradition. They grew up with the Old Testament. Where was the place of forgiveness? It's in the temple. It happens when a sacrifice, the blood of an innocent, is put, right, on the holy place. The high priest takes it in once a year and he makes atonement for the sins of the people, all of the nation. And he covers the mercy seat. And if he comes out alive, it says God accepted that as sacrifice and we're forgiven for another year. That's what they knew. And Jesus says that place of forgiveness is no longer the temple. That place is you in your heart because you are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. And forgiveness happens in your heart as the power of God moves and ministers forgiveness to you through the Holy Spirit. The Father promises all through the Old Testament. It's talked about many times. Ben will probably talk about it next week as he talks about Pentecost and the prophet Joel. But here's another place, the book of Ezekiel. He's a prophet to In the Old Testament, he's speaking to those who are taken into captivity by the Babylonians. He's ministering to those people that have lost their homeland. They've lost their temple. They've lost their purpose and hope, and he gives them hope. So it's not over, guys, because I'm going to bring you back. And I'm going to bring you back, and I'm going to give you not only a new place, but I'm going to give you a new heart. I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit inside of you. Ezekiel is saying that many, many years before Jesus. I remove your heart of stone, your dead heart, your spiritually dead heart. You're not alive to me. You're dead because of sin and death. I'm going to take that dead heart that can't respond to me, that can't hear me, that can't know me, and I'm going to do a heart surgery. I'm going to take that heart and I'm going to replace it with a heart that's alive to God, a heart that beats for the Holy Spirit, a heart that's full of my very presence. The Holy Spirit will make you alive to God. You will be born again by the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. And that Spirit will move you and motivate you to say yes to God. To want to do the will and way of God. To say, Father, I want your will to be done. I want your kingdom to be done. I want your way more than my way. The Spirit of God will move us. Will write the laws, not just in the Bible, which is an amazing book, but they'll write the law in your heart. So you will be moved to do my will and my way. That's the power of forgiveness in your life. It transforms you from the inside out through the Holy Spirit. It is radically transforming for you and for the people in your life. Here's what Tim Keller says. The transforming power of forgiveness in your heart and your life. The experience of divine forgiveness brings profound healing to our soul, to our shame, to our guilt, to our self-condemnation, even to our judgment, to our hatred for others. It brings profound healing. It is grounded in a faith sight of Jesus' costly sacrifice for our forgiveness. When by faith we grasp what Jesus did for us on the cross, we grasp what he took on when he took on all of our sins, we grasp the separation and the judgment that he took in our place, we grasp the immensity of what he gave for our sin and the weight of that at the cross. And as we grasp that and we acknowledge that, we also grasp how big and wide and wonderful is the love of God for us, greater than our sin. As great as our sin is, so greater is his love. That reminds us that we are sinners in mercy like everyone else, yet it also fills our hearts with love and affirmation. Amazing transformation. Amazing grace. You know, the guy who wrote that Amazing Grace was a slave trader. He killed many slaves. He saw many slaves. He drove a ship as a slave trader, John Owen. And one night in a storm, he thought he was going to die, and he gave his heart to God. The Spirit ministered to him, and he left. He became a pastor. And as he was struggling for the weight of his sin, what he had done to slaves, what he had done to people, he recognized the immensity of the cross and the weight of God's love for him, and he said, "Amazing grace, how great the sin, right, that saved a wretch like me." The power of transformation. And John Owen became a great preacher of the gospel. This is the transforming power of God's forgiveness in our own lives. This makes it possible for us to forgive those who have hurt us, those who have damaged us, those that have shamed us, those that have done horrible things to us. We can forgive the perpetrator and then go and speak to them with truth. And seek justice and reconciliation if possible. This is the power of God's healing grace and forgiveness in our lives. Now, however, we do not do it for our own sake. It's not just a therapeutic thing. It's just not about a me-centered thing. It is a God-centered thing now. We do it for justice's sake, because that's a character of God. That's who God is. We do it for justice's sake. We do it for God's sake. For the perpetrator's sake, right? To give forgiveness and freedom. For our future victim's sake. To change the cycle of injustice, the motivation is radically changed because now it's by the Spirit of God and the love of God that's healed us. And an understanding of the weight of how much we've been forgiven. This is powerful. This is the only grace, the only forgiveness that can actually change the world today. Our world is so in need of forgiveness. And the forgiveness models in our world today are completely broken. Outside of God's grace and forgiveness in our heart. In the world today, what do we see? We have the no grace model. The no grace model of justice and vindication. And how's that going in Israel and Palestine? How's that model going of justice and vindication? How many Palestinians and how many Jews need to die? And the cycle of vengeance and justice keeps going on and on, and it never changes, it never transforms, because there's no forgiveness and true, costly grace there. The no grace model does not work. Look at the justice movements in America. What have they solved but just create greater barriers of hate and divide and retribution? Because there's no forgiveness. There's justice without forgiveness. It doesn't work. It just breeds more anger and hatred and guilt within inside us. What about the earned forgiveness model, the earned grace model? Well, I'll forgive you if you just do the right things for me. If you just get a little better, if you just make these things, then maybe I'll forgive you. That doesn't work either. That's just another model for control, retribution, grinding it out, taking my pound of flesh slowly. It doesn't work either. The no forgiveness model does not work. The no grace, the earned grace model, and the cheap grace model does not work. And as a pastor, many times the church has perpetrated a cheap grace model. You know, just forgive and forget, you know? You're a Christian, you need to forgive. Get over it, right? The cheap grace model, which never deals with the injustice, never confronts the perpetrator, never seeks reconciliation, and it continues to perpetrate the cycle of oppression and victimization. The cheap grace model does not work either. That's not God's model. God's model is amazing grace. It's a costly grace. And when we grasp the cost, and we see the weight of our sin, and we see the grace and the tremendous love, we are transformed, and there is repentance. There is a seeking of justice and truth and reconciliation out of that. That's the only model. The God model and the gospel model is the only model that can heal and reconcile and bring peace to our land. This is the model that Jesus gave to us as his disciples. Go and be my witnesses. Does the world need a witness? Does the world need a model? Thursday night, we're going to talk about that. How can we be a forgiveness community? Not just talk about it, not just play about it, but actually go and do it and be reconciled with our neighbors and friends and our mothers and fathers and our marriages. How does that actually work out? It happens when the power of God and the path of God is chosen by faith. He forms his disciples into a forgiveness community. What a blessing over there. Kingdom of God is like a little child. They're the most forgiving people in the world, right? Need that kind of heart. And so the power of forgiveness forges us into the people of forgiveness. That's the story of the book of Acts. The person of forgiveness extends the power of forgiveness that transforms us, and we become the people of forgiveness, the forgiveness community. They gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? I mean, we've been talking about the kingdom. Are you going to come and build some great buildings, get a nice throne, you know, make Israel great again, and then we can bless the whole world? I mean, they're still trapped in that governmental, right, geopolitical boundaries of what it means in the kingdom of God. Jesus, again, has to expand them, that they would understand the kingdom of God is about the heart. And out of the heart, reconciliation and peace. And after that, structures and things can be built. And so Jesus says, I'm not going to give you a roadmap. I'm not going to give you a timeline. I'm not going to give you knowledge. Ben had a great sermon on that last week. Go back and listen to it. God doesn't offer us knowledge, exact knowledge of when he's going to return or when the kingdom. He offers us presence. Because the kingdom of God will be restored through the presence of God in the people's life. The kingdom of God, you don't know, you're not going to tell you the times, the seasons. It could be 2,000 years from now. Thank God it was, right? We wouldn't be here today. But I'm going to give you my presence because you're going to be the witness that I am Lord. And out of your testimony and out of your work of healing and reconciliation, the kingdom of God will be built and continue forward until I return. That's the work of the church, to partner with Jesus and his forgiveness gospel to build reconciliation and peace in the world. That's the work of the church. That's our work. It's not the government's work to do that. It's not the social worker's job to do that. It's not the therapist's job to do it. They're all great people. It's our jobs, guys. It's our jobs as the body of Christ to be discipled in forgiveness and to extend forgiveness. That's how the church won the world. That's why we're here today, because they were a forgiveness community. What did it look like? Proclaiming the good news of forgiveness. Acts chapter 2, Peter, he denied Jesus how many times? Right? Strike one, strike three, you're out. That's the way the Old Testament works, right? You're out, dude. Sorry, you're off the team. Sorry, I can't use you anymore. And Jesus goes and restores Peter with forgiveness and grace, and he gives him the power of the Holy Spirit, and he stands in front of thousands of people and proclaims the good news of Jesus as a forgiven sinner, as a reconciled man, as a courageous through the power of the Holy Spirit. He gives the gospel to a Jewish community, and thousands of them come to Jesus Christ. They're cut to the heart by the Spirit, and they say, what should we do? This Jesus who's Lord and Savior, who died and rose, what should we do? And he said, repent. Change your thinking. Change the core. Change your life from a self-centered, me-centered life to a God-centered, Jesus-centered heart, and give your life to him. Trust him by stepping into his death and resurrection by faith. Baptism is a picture of a step of faith into death and resurrection. Come do that with us next week if you haven't done that. Every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the power of the Spirit. We are here to proclaim forgiveness in the gospel of Jesus Christ. All of us have been put in our circles to give that message, to help people know, bring them to church, share our story, love them, and share that message with them. That's why we're here, guys. There is no other name in heaven by which we can be saved and forgiven but the name of Jesus Christ. There's no other name. And it's inside of us through the Spirit. The second thing we need to do is to picture the gospel by forgiving others. The church was so powerful. Its message was received because they forgave so much each other. They loved one another. They gave each other such grace and were reconciled. There's no cancel community in the church. The church is a reconciling, healing community. Here's what Paul says to the Colossians. Bear with each other. Bear the burden of hurt and pain. Guess what? We're going to hurt each other, guys. Churches hurt people. We're going to hurt each other. And the only way to get back is not just to go to another church, because there's hurt people there too. The only way through that is to heal and reconcile through authentic forgiveness and reconciliation. If you need that in your marriage, if you need that with a friend, Ben and I and others in the church are helping you walk through that forgiveness. And that's what workshop is going to be about. How do you put legs on forgiveness? What does it look like, right? Bear one another and forgive one another. If any one of you has a grievance against someone, forgive. Why? Because they earned it? Because they deserved it? No, because God forgave you. That's the Jesus forgiveness model. God forgave you. Go and forgive others. Last thing is, produce the fruit of forgiveness. Fruit of that forgiveness is unity and love. This is the power of the early church. This is why the church outlived, outlasted, and outlegged Rome. Rome fell, the church never fell. It took over the whole world. And it still continues through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Producing the fruit of forgiveness through unity of love. So in Christ Jesus, all of you are children of God through faith. We're all one family. We're all one. All of you were baptized into Christ by the Spirit, have clothed yourselves with Christ's forgiveness, righteousness, belovedness. You are children of God, your identity, your purpose, your life, and you're a family now. All the barriers that separated and divide, all the things that cause hate and hostility have been wiped away. And there is healing and oneness and unity and love. There's neither Jew or Gentile. The gospel can break down racial hatred in America today and in our lives, right? What about slave or free? The gospel can break down social injustice and divide and bring healing and peace and reconciliation. What about male and female? What about gender issues? The gospel can break down gender divides and bring healing, peace, and right. Only the gospel can do that. Only the gospel can make us one, that we would present Jesus to the world as an authentic bride. That's the power for forgiveness. And the world can't live without it today, guys. America cannot make it without forgiveness. We're going to kill each other. We're going to divide each other. We're going to go to tribal, and we're going to implode. As Tim Keller says, our society cannot live without forgiveness. What about you? What is the Spirit saying to you about forgiveness? What is the next step in your discipleship to trust and follow Jesus, to take up your cross, to die to yourself, and to extend forgiveness, to receive forgiveness? What is that next step for you? The band, they're going to come up. We're going to take communion, which is a celebration of the forgiveness of the body and blood of Christ. It's a powerful story that I came upon this week because my grandchildren went and visited the grave of this person. This person is buried in Fairview Cemetery, right here in Orange County. And her name is Corrie Ten Boom. You ever heard of Corrie Ten Boom? Corrie Ten Boom was a Holocaust survivor. She was Dutch. She wasn't Jewish. And she wrote a famous book, I believe, The Hiding Place, and she sheltered Jewish people that were fleeing the Nazi persecution in her own house with her father, who was a watchmaker, and her sister. And she was ratted out by somebody and captured and sent to Ravensbrück concentration camp. And during her time there, her sister died. I think her father died as well. And she survived. And she is a follower of Jesus. That's why they did that. And so after the war, she went to Germany and she preached the gospel powerfully. In Germany, she was there preaching the gospel. Jesus Christ has forgiven us. He's removed our sins as far as the east is to the west. You are forgiven. Your sins are gone. And afterwards, after the great time, a man came up to her. And she recognized him. He was one of the prison guards at Ravensbrück that had sent her sister to the gas chamber. And he said, "Fraulein, what a great sermon. It's amazing to know that we're all forgiven of our sins in Jesus Christ." And he extended his hand. And Corrie tells the story in her book, "I was frozen. I couldn't. I was frozen by fear and shame and anger. I remembered him. I remembered my sister and her naked body. I remembered all the suffering. But then I remembered the cross. I remember the gospel, I remember Jesus, and I prayed, 'Jesus, help me, help me.' And I knew that forgiveness is not an emotion, it's an action of obedience. And so I said, 'Jesus, help me.' And so I woodenly extended my hand to this man. And as I did that, something powerful happened. Suddenly my body was overtaken by this warm feeling that went right through my shoulder, right into my hand, and when I touched his, suddenly I felt the love of Jesus Christ. I felt forgiveness, and it went into my heart, and I said, 'Out of that, I forgive you, brother,' and tears flowed, and there was reconciliation. She was a vessel of glory used by God to bring reconciliation and peace by faith." That is the power of the Spirit. That is what he can do into your life to set you free from your anger and your hatred, your vindictive judgment, your self-condemnation and self-hatred. I'm a recovering self-hatred, self-aholic hatred. I beat myself so much. From 15, I became a Christian, to 32. I did so much hatred to myself because I was never good enough on the basketball court. I was never good enough at school at Biola. I was never good enough. I said I was a Christian. I went to church, but I hated myself. And it wasn't until that same Spirit broke me free and I forgave myself that I was set free to become a lover of God who loves me, and really to love others. Maybe that's what the Spirit's calling you to do. Forgive yourself here. Maybe it's the hand you need is to give that hand to yourself. Or maybe the hand you need to extend it to somebody that's hurt you. Maybe it's your father or mother. Maybe it's your sister or brother. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's a boss. Maybe it's one of your student friends. Maybe you've been ratted out. Maybe you've been hurt and canceled, and you need to extend forgiveness because you're carrying that anger and vindictive hate inside of it, and you need to set yourself free. What is the Holy Spirit saying about your forgiveness walk and you as a part of the forgiveness community today? Jesus extends his hand to you. He said, "This is my body broken for you, for your forgiveness. This is my blood given for your forgiveness." Are you willing to extend a hand to receive that forgiveness? Maybe you've never accepted Jesus Christ, and today's your day to say, "Jesus, I accept your forgiveness. I accept you as my Lord. Bring your forgiveness. Bring me the gift of eternal life. And you need to accept Jesus today. Let's bow our heads. Prayer our hearts. As your heads are bowed and God's Spirit is moving, that same Spirit is here today in this house, moving in your heart, searching you, knowing you, and Jesus is calling you to forgiveness. If he's calling you to forgive him for the first time and become Lord and Savior, if he's calling you to accept him, just raise your hand to him right now and say, Jesus, I want to accept you. I want to accept your forgiveness in my life for the first time. Just raise your hand to him right now. He's calling you to forgive yourself, to give yourself the forgiveness he gave you on the cross. Just raise your hand and say, Jesus, help me to give forgiveness to myself. He's calling you to forgive others. Jesus, give me the grace to extend your forgiveness to others. Just raise your hand. Jesus, help me to forgive others. Holy Spirit, Jesus, our hands are raised to you now. We ask that you'd minister now through the bread and the cup, your body and blood, and Holy Spirit, move and minister forgiveness and healing and grace. I cancel the curse of self-condemnation. I cancel the curse of hatred. I cancel the cycle of violence that I bring with it. Insert a cycle of grace through your body and blood. I remove the shame and self-condemnation of victimization. I pray for courage to confront and speak the truth. I pray for the courage to extend forgiveness, but to move towards reconciliation and justice in this church and in our lives. Lord, heal us with forgiveness and make us the people of God, a community of forgiveness. We celebrate your body and blood now. Jesus' name. We have four stations. Let's give ourselves and make ourselves available for the forgiveness and the grace of God.
Thanks for listening to the Sunday morning message at Watermark OC Church. If you have questions, go to watermarkoc.com/questions, or you can go to our homepage, watermarkoc.com, and reach out for coffee with a pastor. We cannot wait to meet you.